You are about to enter the Exorcists podcast. Some audio may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome all to the Exorcists podcast, where truth is revealed and knowledge to battle the demonic is given. Here is the Exorcist himself, G.P. Haggett.
Hello and welcome to the Exorcist Podcast. I am your host, G.P. Haggert, exorcist, theologian, author. When you get a chance, go ahead and, you just want to learn more. I put my testimony out there. I don't know why, I guess. I just want to tell my story. It's my testimony of what happened to me and what I went through in my life. I call it the ecbolist because I do practice ecbolism. It's out there. You can get it on Amazon. Feel free to get it, read it. And so far, it's kept its 4 stars over the years, and I'm pretty surprised. I usually have a lot of critics out there for what I do. But it's my testimony, everything that's true. And toward the end, it's pretty much what my family has and I have went through ourselves. Through it all, I got a lot of knowledge, Holy Spirit knowledge, mentor knowledge that was given to me on demons. Pretty much, I know these things. I know these things by name. I know their characteristics. They know me. And that's what's important when you do deliverance, is that you got to get to know these spirits. You got to know them. You got to be able to identify them. And as you gain the experience, you truly receive the spirit of discernment. You can better identify those. And you're pretty much, I'm showing you the spirit of discernment right now. I'm helping you to teach. I'm teaching you these type of spirits and what their characteristics, so you can identify them yourself. I do this podcast pretty much to blow the lid open on demonic activity, because there's a lot going on in the world right now, people have this mentality, this knowledge, this false knowledge, this false narrative that's being put out there, especially in Hollywood, and especially in the paranormal community, that demonic activity is rare. Demonic possession is rare, and it truly is not, people. Now, I know people that are in the Catholic Church, and they know better. I can tell you that the Vatican itself teaches this aspect about demonic possession and demonization, and giving the impression that it's rare and everything, but it really is not. They truly don't believe that it's rare. A lot of them know better. They do that. They have all this red tape in inner healing and deliverance because they don't want people rushing to their local churches, to the Vatican, and looking for an exorcism to be done. And that's where a lot of the evangelical churches, you could say the Protestant Church, has really come in and stepped in. And still, not a lot of Protestant evangelical churches really have stepped up to the point where they have embraced exorcism, deliverance, and ran with it. It's more that a few, a true few, have really grasped exorcism and are really helping people out there to bring their demons forward and to cast them out. Now, the important thing about this, we began a series last time, part one, of this exorcism of this gentleman. He's a Christian. He's been going to church. He's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He's been baptized. He's been bringing his family into the church. This guy's a Christian. But we found Lucifer and Jezebel in him. Now, this is part two of this exorcism. There's four audio clips that we're going to be playing here. And this is mainly just to help you out there to learn about this stuff that's going on. That demonic activity is not rare. This guy didn't even know that he had demons. He was just to recap, the family was, they would see shadows move. They saw they had objects moving. They're in front of this gentleman. There was a door slammed. The bathroom door slammed. I believe somebody had saw some stuff in a mirror too, the bathroom mirror. And so, my cousin Jared and I, he's a demonologist. We came into the home, asked questions. He did recording. He did his thing. And really, I personally hunt down the demon. I ask questions. I ask a lot of questions, and the people, how they answer, their mannerisms, tells me where the demon is and who it is. Because I know these demons so well. Over a span of 30 years, I've dealt with these demons. I know them. They know me. And I don't mess around. Especially when it comes to Lucifer. When Lucifer pops up, I just attack him because from what he has done to so many people around the world and to us as humanity, I attack him. And so what you'll learn here is, he's been renouncing some stuff and doing stuff. And really all I'm doing at this point is being a source of encouragement, showing him the legality in the heavenly realms of what needs to happen for him, what he needs to speak, because what we bind here on earth also gets bound in heaven. And James talks a lot about how the tongue no one can tame, and it gets us in trouble. But it's also the tongue, that how we speak, how we accept the Lord Jesus Christ with our tongues. We can torment demons with our tongues, and you'll see that here in a little while. But you're going to hear a lot about a lot of ecbolism going on in this segment. What's about to happen is, I give him, this gentleman, this victim, some encouragement. I'm also educating the people there. I'm also elusively, I do this quite a bit, when I know that Jezebel, Lucifer, or a particular demon is there, I know how to taunt them to make them come forward. And so you can kind of get the hints that I'm kind of taunting the demon too. And that kind of thing will make them manifest as well. So we start in doing this. What I find out is that he is actually under what's called, what the Bible calls, the curse of the bastards. Today we call it the curse of illegitimacy. And what it is when you are married, when you're born out of wedlock from parents who are not joined together in marriage, and you're born out of wedlock, you're illegitimate, or a bastard. You are, there's different ways for that to happen, to become illegitimate. And so that's a huge curse that Lucifer and Jezebel take advantage of, because according to, according to Deuteronomy 23 verse 2, it says, a bastard, bring my mic over here, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, usually when the Bible talks about, like, this shall happen by the 10th generation or the 5th generation or something like that, it usually is a representation that, okay, that it's going to be to the 10th generation. In this case, it's going to be the 10th generation and into perpetuity. And so it's a really heavy curse, and Jezebel loves this type of curse because it's a form of abandonment. And according to biblical law, this type of person cannot come into fellowship with the Lord. And so who else can they come into fellowship with is the devil. And usually people who are under this curse have trouble reading the scriptures, they have trouble worshiping at a church, they have trouble even trying to get to church, they have trouble not obeying the scriptures, the list goes on. They just have trouble trying to practice Christianity. They sit there and try and they wonder, why is it so hard for me when I love Jesus? Why is it so hard for me to even pray? Well, somewhere along the line, maybe in your ancestry, one of your ancestors was born illegitimate, was a bastard. And so we go back and try to find where this curse is and try to break it. So during the process of trying to break this curse, you're going to hear him. You hear him from the beginning, sounds like a normal guy. But then as I'm helping him to go through to try and break this curse, the demons start coming up, slowly manifesting and trying to get him to stop saying the words to break the curse. And so usually whatever the demons are attached to into the soul is usually a big emotion. That's where the stronghold is. That's where they are. And so when they come up, the person is really fighting back a lot of emotions, trying to say the words, and they're really struggling. And that's where the exorcist is really a big coach. Okay, you can do this. Just fight through it. And I'm also teaching him techniques to keep them from manifesting so that he can say the words. And they're doing everything that they can to try to put him to sleep. So he's fighting being tired. He's fighting them from manifesting. And then finally, it's really getting too hard for him, and the demons are really pushing back and fighting against him. So that's where I step in. I'm like, okay, I've had enough. I'm going to make them manifest. I want to know who is trying to stop him. And of course, after a little while, you can start hearing snarling, growling, light talking, and lo and behold, it's Lucifer. And so you get to meet the devil in this episode, and him and I just don't get along. You hear him, he usually tells me to F off like he usually does, and I have to smite him with judgment. And so when he comes up, I am battling the demon for this guy. I'm representing him along, and Christ is representing him as well. And so this is a big struggle for this guy. So just by, okay, you want to manifest Lucifer, manifest, and I'll speak torment to you, ekbalism. And in ekbalism, it's, you're using a lot of faith, a lot of belief in your words. And let me quote here from Ephesians chapter 6. And this is where Paul is talking about after talking about the full armor of God. And he says in beginning in verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So in ekbalism, and you'll notice the tone of my voice changes a lot. If Lucifer first comes up, I'll lightly say torment or fire or something like that. It's the two main words I usually use when demons manifest. But as I'm trying to, the severity of the torment that I speak to a demon, I'll speak more boldly, more authoritative. And as it is being more drilled into them as a spirit, they get more, you can start to see it more. You can hear him going, like that. And he doesn't touch me. He tries to at one point, but he realizes that if he does touch me, the anointing that is in me will come right back, come right out like a lightning bolt and shock him, and he'll get tormented. So usually a lot of demons don't try to touch me. Only one demon so far has been trying to touch me, and that's Leviathan. And I'll play an exorcism on him later on in this podcast. But so in ekbalism, we speak boldly, with confidence, with faith, and we believe that what we are saying is affecting them. And it does. It takes a lot of faith. But once you start doing it, and I've taught other exorcists how to do ekbalism, and they have come to realization that how they speak does work with faith. Jared, my cousin, is even one exorcism. Jezebel came forward, and I let him move in front of the lady and to speak torment to Jezebel as a way for him to practice on doing deliverance. And so he kept saying, and she came back and said, "By what authority do you have?" And he said, "In Jesus Christ." And of course Jezebel laughed. That's just her nature. And then he started speaking torment into the spirit. And then eventually, at first, what Jezebel tries to do is to try to take the torment as much as possible and try to show no emotion, no signs that it's working whatsoever. But you have to look for specific signs. And after a while, the victim's chin started to quiver. As Jared was saying it, and that's why I had to point out right away, like, look at her chin, it's working, she is feeling the torment. And then he turned back at me after I made the demon go down. He says, "Wow, I never realized what you go through, and that's pretty intense." I'm like, "Yeah, it is pretty intense," because what happens during when you're having a confrontation as an exorcist with the demon is that you're forcing them to look into your eyes to see Jesus inside of you. And I've had people say to me that as they're coming back into consciousness and they see what the demon sees, is that either my eyes are a lot bluer because I have blue eyes, or else there's this light coming from them. Others have said fire, looks like my eyes are on fire. But never is it fearful. I had one lady say that it just seemed like it was so full of love. I just wanted to bathe in that light. And then I realized as I was coming more into consciousness, there you are. And it was just beautiful. And so that's what demons see in a Christian, just so that you know, Christians out there that are listening to this, is that's what demons see when they look into your eyes. They see Jesus. And there's one instance where I actually had a lady say to me that, well, the demon actually said to me when I said, well, what do you look into my eyes, who do you see? And fully expecting them to say Jesus, they come back and they said, I see the Father. And that just blew me away, because that just seemed pretty big right there for the Father to be in me. I must have some intense authority or something that in order for the Father to be in me to do that. So this, getting back to the exorcism, Lucifer comes forward after, you know, egging the demons on to come forward and to deal with them and try to beat them up in a way, so, and then make them go down and have the guy finish the prayer to break the curse, and finally the curse is broken. and Lucifer, after a while, does not have any more rights, and that's when we proceed with an exorcism, and that'll be in part 3, I'm pretty sure. So without further ado, this is part 2 of this inner healing and deliverance. Feel like you're getting strength back slowly. You're looking a lot better. She is keeping you from doing or saying anything.
Why?
These things torment us. She has a right to. Hopefully after that renunciation that we got rid of that right. They're sneaky, but we gotta find out more. We gotta dig more. Unfortunately, you gotta go through a lot of emotion through the whole process.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pain there. And that's what they hold on to. These are emotional beings. So they don't tell you in church, because most pastors don't know this. That's why people in haunted homes can feel, oh, I feel like there's something going on here, and they usually always describe an emotion, because they're picking up the demonic trace of it. So they're trying to tell people in a paranormal community. Oh, I'm empathic. No, you're not. You're just picking up emotions. In psychology and psychiatry, they call people that pick up emotions easily empaths. They're emotional beings. They attach to emotion. If you go into a haunted home and you got some emotional issues, they're going to attach to you. You're going to walk out with them. But demons will enter in through curses, the occult, vocational sins, addictions, abuse of any kind that you got going on, and through abandonment. Jezebel loves abandonment. She acts like a mother figure. She tries to, anybody is abandoned, any child is abandoned, anybody is feeling feelings of rejection, she goes in and attaches to them. You want to proceed?
Not right now.
Okay. We'll wait a little while and get your strength back.
It's
okay.
I know what you're going through. I've been there. You're going to get out of it.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. You got to put on the full armor of God. Have faith in Jesus Christ as you're going through spiritual battle. The opposite of fear, faith is fear. They're going to try and make you afraid to bring up all that emotion, and that's the energy that they draw off of to get strong. What we have to do is weaken her. And I would bet we don't even know if she's a strong man. Because there's always, in the infrastructure of evil, there's somebody at the top. And then there's some at the, go all the way down at the bottom.
That's not making me uncomfortable anymore.
You could be walking down the street, into a Walmart, go into a Meijer store. There's people with demons all the time. There's a lot of people with demons. This is not rare. When the paranormal community say it's rare, but it's not. Like I was telling you before, members of the Divine Council, the hosts of heaven, who have come down in periods of time from Genesis, there was the Son of God that came down, they were the daughters of men. Chapter 6 of Genesis, and then there's the Tower of Babel, and at that point, that's when they set themselves up as gods over man. All the gods out there, Jezebel spirits, Kali, Jezebel, of course, in Hebrew, Aphrodite, Venus, oh yeah, I know all of her disguises. She is a tough one to get rid of. She's very sneaky.
I felt like I went through a fight. Mm-hmm. Well, I felt like I got into a fist fight. That's how I feel right now.
I'm here with you. Jesus is here with you. And this doesn't... This may take care of... This may happen tonight. Or we may have to see each other periodically to beat her down. But I'm guessing we're probably going to have to see each other quite a bit over time because it looks like she's been there for a long time. You got a lot of pain. You know, you can't hold on to the past.
I know it's easier said than done, but you just got to remind yourself that.
Our pain is in the past.
Yeah.
No, please. I'm not even thinking about that.
I know, but...
The pain is, I'm not feeling
it. See, the thing, though, is I saw a dissociative there. And dissociatives hold on to the pain. They're there through a fracture of the mind. And they're there holding on to the pain all the time. That's why when she left... She went down, and afterwards there was this residue of emotion that came forward because she's hiding it behind a dissociative. There's some little boy in there. Now tell me how you feel when I say this to you. Now I'm not talking to Tom, I'm talking to the dissociative that's in Tom, that little boy. I want to let you know that we love you. We love you so much, little Tom. You're going to be all right. Jesus is here to help you. I know that you're holding on to a lot of pain, but you're going to be all right. And I want to give you a little hug. Jesus wants to give you a hug. I know that you're holding on to a lot of pain. And it hurts. But everything's going to be all right. How do you feel? How'd that make you feel?
Relax. Safe.
Is this Tom? Or is just a little time. Just a little time. You got a lot of pain today, don't you, buddy? I'm here now. Where'd you get the pain? Who caused all this pain? Who did? Your mom? What did she do to you?
She.
It's okay, you can tell me. What did she do? Hit you? What's your name?
Jason.
Jason? Let me write you, Jason. Do you know Jesus? Do you?
No.
Do you want to know Jesus?
Yeah.
It's okay after me. I accept. Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
As my personal.
As my personal.
Lord.
Lord.
And Savior.
And Savior.
There you go, you're saved. Jesus loves you. Anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now what I need you to do for me, I know that you're protecting Tom.
Yeah.
And you've been protecting him for so long, I know that it hurts. I need you to integrate back with his mind, okay? He's a big boy. He can help you to with all the emotional pain that you receive. Okay?
Okay.
Can you go to him and merge back in with him?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright. Alright. You can go down when you do that. And then that Tom back up, okay? You did a great job, Jason. We're proud of you. Is Tom? Tom?
Yeah.
Awesome. How are you feeling?
Good.
Associatives will, if they saw the pain, is through an addiction or through cutting somehow. And being behind a dissociative will poke and prod at that dissociative to torment the core.
I used to do that too. I used to cut when I was younger.
That's what you used to talk to. Feeling stronger?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to proceed? Let's whip her butt together.
Trust me, yeah, he's here with you, okay? Oh my God. He's stronger than anything, any evil here.
Ready?
Is there a reason the dissociative would have been a little boy?
Most abuse happens in childhood. That's when they're most vulnerable, and then the devil tries to get at you early in your childhood. The more that they can fracture your mind, the more demons they can get into you.
Gotcha.
That makes sense, though, because, you know.
The more pain they can cause, the more emotional pain they can cause, the more demons they can get into the mind and torment. Have a home. It's like rooms, creating rooms.
Yeah.
Dissociatives. So right now, Jezebel is ticked. She's not showing it anyway. I don't see it. So this is definitely Tom. Feel like you're a whole person?
Yeah.
You know, reintegrated your dissociative back into you. You had a dissociative named Jason. A little boy holding on to all your pain. Now you should start, don't force it, you should start to remember some memories from your childhood. And it could be painful, very emotionally painful. Just let it happen.
Don't worry, if you come to me, it's okay.
You can go to her, get a hug from her.
My legal name before I was adopted was Jason.
Did you have it changed?
They changed it. Thomas.
Okay.
So, that's what my mom told me, that our legal name is. Mine was Jason. And my brother is Jeremy.
Because that matters in deliverance. They take, so like I said, civil law into account too. They're sneaky. So what is your legal name on your birth certificate?
We're Thomas.
What we've been using?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
This when me and my brother were adopted, it was legally changed to Thomas Chase. Okay. And so was my brother's name. It was changed for him.
When was the abuse? What under what name? The Holy Spirit is telling me that, to look into that.
Jason. When I was Jason's I was adopted. It wasn't my foster mom. It was my real mom.
Jason, when you were born, that was your name?
Yes. Jason.
Thomas now.
Yeah.
So the dissociative took your name when you were little, because that's what it was. So you're together now. I didn't know that. Don't worry, don't mind my writing. It just helps me to, well, what counts is.
No, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I just, a lot of things when we first talked, I just didn't say a lot of things that I should have said, I guess.
Sorry. All right. Say I in your legal name.
I, Thomas, Jason.
In fact, I say every word in this. Just gotta try to stop them. Confess.
Confess
the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Let's try it again. Confess.
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 I, Thomas, Jason Swigert.
Confess.
Confess.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ.
As my Savior.
As my Savior.
And I renounce.
And I renounce.
The kingdom of darkness.
The kingdom of darkness.
Along with all the works.
Along with all the works.
Of the devil.
Of the devil.
I renounce all sins of my ancestors.
All sins of my ancestors.
Back to Adam and Eve. And everyone in between.
I especially renounce
all sexual sins
of my ancestors.
And in particular, the sins of adultery,
fornication,
rape, and incest. If any of my ancestors,
committed these sins,
I declare, their effect, on me.
Their effect on me.
To be null and void. If I am. The parent.
Of any.
Illegitimate. Child.
Child.
And that child. Is not. Of legal consent. In his or her. Country of domicile. I speak.
For that child.
And I declare. That the curse
of
illegitimacy
upon
him
or her
is
broken
by virtue of the
power
of the
blood
of
Christ
and the
authority
I have
in his
name.
This curse
of illegitimacy
is broken
and renounced
to the
10th
generation
and into
perpetuity.
Dima is trying to keep him from saying the words.
I'm seeing that.
This declaration
is binding.
It is
binding
upon
all
demonic forces.
The forces
that have step back, Jezebel. Hitherto clench up your lower back muscles. Exercise any influence
because
of this curse.
Every effect
of this curse is broken, including all hindrances to worship, prayer,
giving,
acts of charity, reading of God's word,
attendance
at the house of God. You can say it.
House of God.
And any
inhibitions
regarding Christian fellowship. Fighter. Regarding Christian fellowship.
Regarding Christian fellowship.
And Christian Jezebel, come up. I ask for my finger to be the finger of God and to pull up any demonic entities that are being judged now, and I call them up upon now in Jesus' name. Come up. Up. Up, Jezebel. Up. Get up. Quit cowering. Come on up. I call up the dogs of Jezreel now to come up and attack Jezebel and eat her flesh and lick her blood in Jesus' name. They're coming for you. I hear them barking. Come on up. I said, come up. Face me. I strike you with judgment. Don't you curse the man of God. Get up. Get up. Fire. 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 Get up. Fire. Fire.
fire. Go down. Go down. Don't you touch me. How did you get in there? What? How did you get in there? Jezebel let you in? Jezebel let you in? You're Lucifer? What's your name? Say it loudly. Get up. Stand up. Torment. Torment. Stand up. I said stand up. Stand up. You face Jesus Christ. He's standing before you. I ask for the image of Jesus Christ to stand before Lucifer right now. You bow before Jesus Christ. Get on your feet now. Get on your feet. I said get on your feet. Stand up in Jesus' name. I adjure you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand your butt up now. Lucifer, get up. Stand up. I said stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I'll cause torment. Bow before Jesus. Bow. For Jesus Christ. Yes. You're going to stay there. You stay bowed before Jesus.
Yes, move this table.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet the devil. Get up. Sit down. Chair now. Sit down. Look at me. Look at he who is in me is looking back at you. Look at the sign of the victory. Are you causing any disease or illness in this body of Thomas's? Answer.
Answer me. Answer me. What are you causing? What are you causing? What else? What else? Torment. Torment. You answer the man of God. Torment. Torment. I'm going to take all of that with you to the abyss when this is over. What is your legal right? Speak up. What's your right? By what? Speak up.
As a child.
What did he do?
He asked for the love.
For the love? Look at me. Look at me. Don't you take your eyes off me. What did he do when he was a child to bring you in? Lie not to the Holy Spirit that made you be tormented if you lie. Don't go back. I didn't give you permission to leave. Answer me. Torment. Torment. Go down and bring Tom back up. Go down. I command you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go down. Is
no,
Tom?
He's not.
Is Tom? Go down. Go down. Keep tormenting you. Go down. Go down. Go down. Go down. Go down. In Jesus' name, go down. Fire. I call upon holy fire to come upon you. Burn your flesh. Go down now and bring Thomas up. You will listen to me, the man of God.
Yes.
Go down. Go down. Thomas?
Yeah.
Get your composure back.
Feel right now, Tom.
Just take a break.
Headache.
Headache.
Yeah, he likes to cause headaches. And burning eyes.
Yeah.
And we said your eyes are burning earlier. That's what I thought that was sign of Lucifer.
Oh.
Just so you know, if you, when you come forward like that, and you see me being aggressive, it's not me, it's Christ in me. It's getting, you know, all the righteousness. Don't take it personal.
What?
Were you there? Did you hear anything that was said?
There's another one.
There's another one? Do you hear any other names?
I was saying, there's another one?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. They usually work in two or more. Never just one.
Why are they the most common you find come across?
I think it's because of the times. Most exorcists think it's like they list that. Yeah,
like the times now?
They're going to build the temple. Not, you know, in no time here soon in Jerusalem. It's a sign of the end times.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be more, it's told to be more intense now, you know?
And stuff like this is going to become more and more.
Yeah. See, we weaken Lucifer by making him bow before Jesus. So we can kick him off. That really weakens him. Because he's a spirit of pride. He's one of the seven princes of hell.
We kind of had to move him out of the way a little bit.
Thank you. you're ready. Or if you want to stop.
Some interesting she was part of. Actually, pretty cool. I think pretty good. It's very close.
Part I wish was in a different spot. But
oh, sweet.
That is bad. I seen really? Them and they were like, I'm yours. And I went, buy them.
Something spoke to you and said, I gotta buy them.
Yeah. They just leaped. Oh. They like leaped out of my head.
Yeah.
And I was just like, those are perfect. Mm-hmm.
But isn't that just awesome? Just a word that affects them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're seeing.
But it's scary to see what he's going through, but knowing that just the one word is all it takes.
They don't want you to know that. That's why they influence people in Hollywood to present movies and shows like this, to make it so intense that it's impossible to cast them out, when actually the truth is God's word.
Oh, absolutely.
Has power over them. All they have to say is the word. And they have to do it. I love this match. Get to beat the devil's butt.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to. It's amazing.
Actually,
you know,
Ashley is. She's going to join in ministry. She wants to go and do the deliverance.
Really? That's awesome.
Do you have the gag? I would love to even learn that, you know?
Yeah, I'd love to teach.
That'd be amazing.
More people know how to do it. Actually, most of this I learned is from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I just asked him. He let me. Let me in place of this. He tells me what to do during deliverances. Like that, just I know what I told you to do. Yeah. Give your spirit, soul, and body to Jesus. Now, all the forces of righteousness are going to come and make sure that they're on notice. You're going to feel stronger as you progress. You look like you're getting stronger, able to come through this. We're beating them up. You're beating them up. I'm just helping you through it.
You're going to shake me as much.
Yeah.
Your color's going back in your face too a little bit. Mm-hmm.
You should have seen this coming before you got here. Yeah. It was mad.
We weakened them by calling out the dogs of Jezreel on Jezebel, and we made Lucifer bow before Jesus. And there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yes.
Movies and everything make this so scary and everything, but you got power in Christ. And when you're done with this, you're gonna find an uplifting. You're gonna have a smile on your face, and you're gonna get it off.
I don't care about anybody. This ain't like a movie.
I know. It's like
this is not Hollywood.
This is the real thing, bud.
Yeah, it is. Sure.
Have you guys been through this at
all? Yeah.
Just let me know when you're ready. Now, you did some marijuana too, right? How much of it did you do?
Smoked half a joint.
Just a half?
Yeah, with a friend.
Any other forms of marijuana, cannabis?
Edibles.
So I think I know who else is there too.
So is that isn't right to do it, is it? Even if it's for medical, like I'm just curious, you know, because...
No.
He is sneaky too.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was like, because I've never liked it, but I'm just, you know.
I never encountered him before, except for the last exorcism, when she told me that she did a lot of marijuana. And so all I did was call him up, and he came up.
Really?
I'm not going to give a name. That's going to see if he comes up.